I started on the last Sunday before I left, and I'm going to speak on this topic all month of living within His means. Living in His means. Living in His means. You've heard the statement, living within your means, and you hear that statement, and it's not a bad statement, but there's your means, and then there's His means, and they're not the same. Meaning that you can live within your means, and you can do okay. You may want to ask yourself the question, is this really God's best for me? I believe in stewardship, and so I'm not talking about being undisciplined with your resources or the things that God has given you. But this has started to resonate in my spirit, and I believe it's timely because the times that we are in and where we are headed are going to get more and more challenging, more and more difficult. And if you have not settled in your heart and mind that God is your source, period, the end, as Pastor Nina says, point blank, the end. Yeah. Then you're going to struggle. You're going to be challenged. You may have a great paying job. You may have a wonderful retirement in place. You may have resources stored up, but you have to recognize all of that and any of that has come from God. No matter how you earned it, how you got it, and praise God if you've been able to do that. But at the end of the day, God is our source. And we're going to have to rely on Him in ways that for many have not had to or chosen not to. So in this thought, living within His means, I'm talking about you and I coming into a greater awareness of how God wants to provide for us, not just how He has provided, but how He wants to provide for us as we continue to live out our lives. When we talk about living within our means, we're talking about managing resources. One of the thoughts about it is managing your individualized finances and personal expenses in a way that aligns with your income and available resources. Say available resources. Now, here's where we get kind of stuck sometimes. When you say available resources, what comes to mind for you? Bank account? Paycheck? How many would say, yeah, that's what comes to mind? In the kingdom, for the believer, available resources are not based on your bank account. They're not based on your paycheck. As a matter of fact, if we are living paycheck to paycheck, you're really considered poor. Living within our means, live within your means, to spend money only on what you can afford. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Hear me, I am not promoting living a life that's undisciplined. What I am trying to help us move the church into, is the place of faith, where you are walking in the resources, the abundance that God has made available to you through the redemptive work of Calvary and the covenant that we have through Christ. And so I'm going to take the whole month to really unpack this in hopes that a few of you will get it. I am one that believes that oftentimes you learn it over repetition. Okay? So I'm not one to try to come every week with a fresh message. Well, I want it to be fresh, but not different. Meaning every time you show up, it's a different message that doesn't connect. No, it's line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how we grow. That's how you mature. elementary school, when you come into the first grade, second grade, there's a level of math and English that you have then that you don't have when you, by the time you get to the 12th grade, it should be a whole lot different. But you never forget what you learned because you've built upon it. It's like building blocks. So that's my attempt with this. When I talk about living in His means, and Pastor Deborah, I think we had put together a quote for this. Living in His means His resources. Living in the unlimited power, potential, and provision of His means, His resources, as a result of the covenant we have with God through Jesus Christ. Come on, read it with me. You see it up there? Come on, read it with me. Come on. Living within. Come on. His means are mine. His resources are my resources. We bought this building because we used His resources, not mine. It wasn't in my bank account, but it was in His. The resources were in the kingdom. And it's about following Him, hearing Him, being disciplined with what you have so that He can trust you with what He has for you. So when we think about walking in the blessings, we looked at Deuteronomy 28, and I'm just going to take this time and just rehearse this today, not very long, and then we'll pick it back up on Wednesday. But we looked at Deuteronomy 28. Most believers, if they've been a Christian any amount of time, they know Deuteronomy 28 talks about the blessings and the curses. So it's about the verses 1 through 14 are all the blessings that come on the descendants of Abraham. You and I are descendants of Abraham. Acts 4, verse 32. Go to Acts 4. Deborah, put that up on the screen. Acts 4, verse 32. Let's just look at a couple of scriptures so you know that I'm not making this up. Matter of fact, no. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, 13, 14. Go there so that you know I'm not making this up. We can wait till we get on the screens. Here we go, so we can read it all together. Now, Christ is redeemed from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Okay, so here's how we're reading this. As a matter of fact, Deborah, can you omit curses everyone that hangs on the tree? Can you omit that in real time? Okay, that's good. So we're going to omit that part so that we can... For it is written, curses. We're going to omit that part because that was added in the original text. So it says this, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Say that with me. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Stop. Next slide. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Pause. Who's the Gentiles? That's us. That might come to the Gentiles. Keep going. So that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's talking about the promise of Abraham. It's talking about the promise of blessings that came on Abraham. That you and I would be partakers of that. So when we think out of that place, and we intentionally give ourselves to the Word of God, we can live in a place where God will trust you and release to you resources beyond your paycheck, your retirement, your 401k, or whatever else you have in place, because He can trust you with it, and He wants to bring abundance into your life and in my life. Not just for us, but for the sake of others as well. I'm not teaching something that's hypothetical. We are living in this. Pastor Maurice and I, we're living in this. We were with someone while we were gone, and this gentleman just said to me, "I feel like God told me to do something." I said, "Well, okay." He said, come upstairs with me. I go upstairs with him. He says, "I just feel I'm supposed to give you this." He handed me an envelope. It had $2,000 in it. He said, I'm just being obedient to the Spirit. Now here's why I want to pause, because on the Wednesday before we left, and this is why it's important to get out here midweek, because that's where we talk to each other about it. See, I can stand up and talk to you, or Pastor Jamal, or Pastor Deborah, or Pastor Nina, or one of the other pastors can stand up and talk to you about these things. But it's in the communion of the saints that we begin to really understand it, and we're able to see how it applies or doesn't apply. One of the things that came out in our conversation, Pastor Marisa brought up, she said, you know, sometimes God will speak to someone concerning you, speak to someone about sowing or giving, but they're not obedient. Now, let me ask this question, and you don't have to raise your hand, but just be honest with yourself. How many of you felt like God spoke to you to do something for somebody, and you reasoned right on past it? Okay, I said don't raise your hand, but I saw a couple of hands. Yeah. Listen, I've done that. And you know what I realized is, and this is going to get me to the points real quick that I'm going to touch on today, because we didn't go live. We weren't able to go live on the Wednesday, so these points got missed. And so I want to do this for my friends that tune in. Pastor Cameron Hunter, if you're watching, you and Denise, blessings to you. They are extended family in Texas as well, and they tune in, and they get a little upset if we don't post this stuff, y'all. So we got to keep the word out there. But Pastor Marisa, when she shared it, is talking about how that God works through his body to take care of the body. The Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men given to your bosom." Meaning there should be this synergism. There should be this reciprocal effect that causes, it just comes down to sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Just that simple. Sowing and reaping. How do I live in his means? How do I live in his means? Let me just talk about this from the natural and the practical, and then we'll end this time out for now. For those of you that came out, this is kind of a refresher for you. Jesus modeled for his disciples how to live within his means. He started out by showing them how he could take care of and how they could take care of people's needs, even when it seemed like the resources weren't there. Remember the 5,000, and they had, what'd they have? They had two fish, five loaves, two fish, five loaves. You remember the exchange that they had? They said, "Man, it's getting late. We need to send everybody home." He says, "No, tell them to stay here." "Well, what are they going to eat?" He says, "We're going to feed them." I'm paraphrasing. They said, we don't have anything." "Well, what do we have?" See, here's a teachable moment. God will always challenge you on what do you have. He will always challenge us on what do we have. You remember we looked at the widow, we looked at the prophet who came to the widow woman, and after he left the brook, when the raven stopped feeding him at the brook, and he goes to Zarephath, and he says to the woman, what do you have?" She said, "Well, I got a little thing, just enough to make a cake for me and my son, and then we're going to die." What she's doing is she's living within her means. He says, well, wait a minute. Before you do that, I have other sources you know not of. It's already been demonstrated to him because, remember, he's the guy at the brook with the ravens coming feeding him. They're bringing Chick-fil-A at noon. They're bringing Papa Do's at night. I mean, they're taking care of him till the brook dries up. Meant the season was over. And so he gets there, but his question to her is, okay, but tell me what you do have. And oftentimes, that's the question that the Father will put before us. Don't talk to me about what you don't have. Let's talk about what you do have. Because I can work with anything, and if I have to, I can work with nothing. So we see how God works. The woman whose husband died and she needed to pay taxes or she's going to lose her house. What do you have? All I have is a little cruiser oil. She's living within her means. He says, I'm going to show you how to live within my means. See, these are examples of God helping you and I understand his provision over the world's provision. Now, we can, if we choose to, get very comfortable within the world's provisions. But I would encourage you to do that. Because things are volatile right now. Not just in our nation, but around the world. And some of the meetings that I sit in on by Zoom and the tables and the leaders that I'm hearing, that's why it's important that our mind is settled right now. I'm not going to try to live based off of my means. I'm going to live based off of his means. And there's enough of you in here who live long enough with God to know you've seen him come through. Come on. Okay, that's about seven, eight of y'all. What about the rest of y'all? Come on, Esther, you know what I'm talking about. Seen him come through over and over and over. So after a while, it's just settled. I'm not going to try to live any longer by my means, but I'm going to live by his. And as I steward what he has given me, and I steward it well based on his principles, I will prove myself to be worthy of handling more. So when that money came to me, I said to Pastor Marisa, well, I need to pray and ask God what I'm supposed to do with this, because I wasn't expecting it. She said, well, I guess I need to do the same thing. That's stewardship. That's kingdom stewardship. Jesus feeds the 5,000. He feeds the 4,000. The widow who only has a cruse of oil, the prophet says, go get as many containers as you can. I'm going to show you what it means to live within his means. Now, all of a sudden, she's filling them up from one little container. And it says that the oil stopped when she ran out of containers. How do we get into this place of living within his means? We have to believe that what we read in the scriptures is supposed to be our reality. That we live in an atmosphere of the miraculous. We live in the atmosphere of the supernatural. And I can trust and believe that God will bring to me what he has purposed to bring to me whenever he wants to get it to me. Now, hear me when I say this. A lot of times we'll say, God will get to me what I need. So we've got to move. You've got to move past a need-based mentality. As a matter of fact, on Wednesday, I'm going to talk about breaking. The scarcity mentality. breaking the scarcity mentality. What do I mean? I mean, you've gone so much of your life, or maybe all of your life, with so little that you're scared to do anything with what you do have, because you think that if you do, you're not going to have anything left after it's over. And all the while, God continually, this was the challenge for the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Now, God had already done miracles. He's already shown them some of his power. They're the same ones that walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. Say dry ground. Now, you got to know that in and of itself should have set you in a place mentally, emotionally, for the rest of your life as it relates to God. That as you got on the other side of that, if he can do this, he could do anything. But they didn't think that. And oftentimes, we're not understanding how that God does one thing in our life in order to help us move to the next thing. Not one-off, meaning they don't connect. God is faithful all the time. God is good all the time. God is blessing all the time. He wants to bless you. That's when you say, see, that's what I'm saying. Y'all didn't get that. It's like, he's good all the time. He's faithful all the time. He wants to bless me, maybe sometime. All the time. It's part of the covenant. How do we live in his means? It's going to take contending for this greater place of faith and maintaining the place once you arrive there. So you live within his means. Meaning, you trust God, you believe God to do something, he does it. Mark that, stay there.
Yes, sir.
Mark that, stay there. Believe to go to the next level. Believe for greater expanse. I have found that the most important disciplines to walking and living in his means is a constant diet, knowledge and application of his word, and a constant prayer life.
Yes, sir.
That is probably one of the greatest missing disciplines for believers. I want you to think about it. When God spoke to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, he said, this is how you're going to have good success. This is how you're going to prosper. He said, you need to meditate on my word day and night, and don't let it depart out of your mouth. He's saying, I'm the constant in your life. Make me the constant in your life. Make me the constant in your life for your resources. Make me the constant in your life for your health. Make me be the constant in your life for your relationships. Let me be the constant in your life, in every area of your life. The most important discipline is walking and living in within his means. It's your constant diet, knowledge, and application of his word. A constant prayer life, an exercising of faith. And you must learn to pull down the mental assault that you will deal with. I'm talking about the mental assault of the enemy who wants to keep bringing up things in your life, that wants to keep bringing up things when God is saying, that's long gone. That's long gone. We'll end out our time with taking communion. I remember this song years ago, Bloodstained Pages Shed for Me. The chorus says, the pages have been stained by the blood that's shed for me. I can't read them, neither can he. What's been forgiven is forgotten, impossible to read. Blood-stained pages, stained by blood, shed for me. To walk in this place, you've got to be able to pull down the mental assault. You've got to be able to pull down the mental assault around these thoughts here. You don't have enough. You can't afford it. You are not enough. You don't have what it takes. Stay in your place. You're going to make a fool of yourself. You've messed up. There's no recovery for you. There's no return. Those are all assaults of the enemy to keep you from moving into the place of living in his means. Don't allow the enemy to trick you into disqualifying yourself as if now God can't do for you what you were hoping he would do. Believing that he would do. So how do we live in this place in the natural? First and foremost, you've got to be committed to operating in the principles. The financial, economic principles of the Word of God. Meaning this, all that God has purposed to bring to you and I through his covenant that we have through Christ is based on our obedience to him. When it comes to resources, and when I say resources, let's talk about money. Because most people think, well, if I just could make more money, if I could get more money, then these things could be handled. And for the most part, excuse me, some can, not all. But when it comes to the natural, spiritual, and practical side of things, in the area of the principle of kingdom finances, you've got to be committed to what he set in place with tithes, first fruits, offerings, and alms. Let me say that again. You've got to be committed to tithes, offerings, first fruits, and alms. Simply saying, when that's in place, that's how God knows I have someone who will steward my resources well, because you're already honoring him through what you have, even if in your mind it's little. That's why there really is a whole lot of truth and weight in tithing that dollar from the $10, tithing that $10 from the $100, tithing that $100 from the $1,000. So that when God gives you, and here's how, listen to this. Here's how God works. Here's how the kingdom works. God speaks to someone and says, this is what I'm going to do in your life. You say, Lord, I receive it. I just don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm barely making it now. It's just all the wrong kind of talking anyway. You just simply need to say yes. Now, what you don't know is, while he's speaking to you, he's speaking to the one who has the resources over here. Are you listening to me? The moment you say yes, he's already set it up over here. And it is the responsibility of the person with the resources to get those resources to you. God looks at his body. He looks at the members in his body, and he starts looking for those who have proven themselves faithful. We find that in the word when he says he gives seed to the sower. Those who are sowers will never be broke. Amen. because of the principle. Is this a prosperity message? You doggone right it is. Because the Bible says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. There is the balance to it all. So as I am faithful in my resources of my tithes and offering and first fruits and alms, God says, I can trust him. God says, I can trust her. I can trust them. We prove our stewardship by what we have. We prove our stewardship by what we have and how we manage it. He who's faithful over little becomes ruler over much. The principle of the talents, where God looks at those who he's given gifts, he's given resources, and says, let me see how you use them. If you find yourself in a season where you feel like it's just, I just don't have enough, my encouragement for you is for you to say, God, help me move. Help me move. Help me move in my mind. Help me move in my emotions. Help me move in my spirit. Help me to move into that place where your word is a reality in my life. Living within his means means operating in faith, even in the midst of seeming lack. Not stopping because you can't see it. Not folding because it just looks like it's not going to work. Jesus did not die for you and I to live a life of just enough. He gave his life, won the victory, came back and said, now I give it all to you. I give all the authority that I have, I give to you. Now you go out. And he says, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will do it. He's saying, we are now in covenant with one another. That which you've seen me do is now available for you and even more. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Yeah. So we make the choice. We make the choice. We can choose, and we do choose every day, but we make the choice. Am I going to keep focusing on my means, or am I going to press into understanding his means? And not just understanding it, but moving into that place. Because all it takes is one act to settle it for you. All it takes is one. That's why oftentimes it's good, and like I said on Wednesday nights, we're hearing from different ones because it's helping us. Some are giving a testimony of how God has moved, how God is moving. But the part that I'm trying to get across to all of us and those that are watching by way of live stream is this. God is consistent. His word is consistent. And he wants to move consistently in your life and in my life, not just for us, but often for the sake of others. And at some point in your life, at some point in my life, it's no longer about us. You see, it's no longer about me. Can you say that? It's no longer about me. It's no longer about my needs getting met. I'm believing to meet the needs of others. I'm a sower. I'm a giver. And because of that discipline and understanding to the best that I can how the covenant works, resources continue to come. How many would say that's exactly what I need happening in my life? And I believe for that right now. I believe for that right now. I believe for that right now. So it's going to take some intentionality. It's going to take a change in mind. It's going to take breaking some mind. It's going to take breaking some mind shifts, and so that you don't keep thinking that way. It's going to take sometimes putting a muzzle over your mouth. I did a teaching one time called Don't Let Your Mouth Mess You Up. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. You really do have the power to speak in the spirit, and they become a reality in the natural. And in this place, God is wanting us to grab a hold of this. It's like a father looking at his children, and he's just simply saying, I never meant it to be like this. Don't they recognize all of what I've really done? And the answer is, for some, not really, because if we did, things would be different. And I don't know about you, but for me, I'm saying, I am pushing myself to make things be different. I see your hand back up there. I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with you. I said I was going to share this in hopes that two or three of y'all would catch it. I believe maybe five or six have, maybe seven or eight, maybe nine or 10, maybe 11 or 12, maybe 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, whatever. I think that I think that the Holy Spirit is allowing this moment because this is a sobering kind of word. It's an examining word. For some, you got to be willing to say, man, I've been living beneath my means, beneath his means. And I don't want to keep doing that. Not when I know there's more. Not just more in terms of money, more in terms of life.